Hello, welcome to your meditation practice as part of the Open Heart Project. My name is Susan Piper, and I'm very happy to sit with you in meditation. We're going to sit together for 10 minutes, and we're going to start very soon. So please get settled in your cushion, on your cushion, or in your chair. Both are fine. And as you get settled, I want to continue answering the wonderful questions that I've received from you guys. I really appreciate you taking the time to ask them of me. And if you have a question about your meditation practice, about Buddhism, spirituality, anything I might be able to help with, please leave it in comments connected to this post, or you can click on the Ask Susan podcast link, which is in this post too. And there's a phone number and you can leave me a message, and I would love to answer your question on my podcast. And you can leave your question anonymously, or you can tell us your whole life story. It's up to you, but that would be really awesome. So today's question actually comes from two people. It's a similar question asked by both of them. First, from Marsha, let me get the questions, who says, recently I'm experiencing anxiety, Ophelia's sister, and know that regular meditation helps, but I'm wondering if there are specific ways or techniques that help to ease the anxiety of mind and body. It's a very good question. Echoed by Faith, who says, Marsha's comment resonated. I have a history of anxiety and moderate to severe panic attacks. Anything you can offer to work with these feelings would be terrific. Specific chants, prayers, mantras. So these are very good questions. Thank you, Marsha and Faith. And they're questions that I relate to personally, because I'm a human being and we all feel anxious, but also I have had panic attacks in my life. And they were quite terrifying and also came out of nowhere. It started about 12 or 13 years ago. It's much better now, but when it first happened, I was completely shocked. I was sitting on an airplane, and I've flown many, many times. I used to live overseas. I've flown all over the world and so on. And suddenly I started to shake and hyperventilate and cry and sweat. Not very attractive. I didn't know what was going on. I just knew that I was really, really afraid, and I had to get off the plane. So I did. I grabbed my bag and got off the plane, but I had to go where I was going because it was for a work thing. So I'm like, okay, well, I'll get on the next flight. I rebooked myself on the next flight. Same thing. Panic. Leave. I came up then with the ingenious plan to get drunk, because I'm not a big drinker, and it's really easy for me to get drunk. Like, I'm a cheap date, half a glass of wine and I feel tipsy and so on. So I go to the bar and it's my lucky day. They're serving double shots for the price of single shots. So I order a double shot of tequila and I drink it. Nothing happened. I ordered a second shot and a third. And I remained stone cold sober because I had so much adrenaline in my system that I could not get drunk. So I went home, had a bad headache. And I came back the next day with like Xanax or something like that, which I took and which actually helped. Sometimes these medications really have a place. I'm not recommending this, however. But I got on the plane and one of the reasons it helped was because I could see, my mind was slowed down enough that I could see my panic attack arising and work with it in a particular way. I'd already been a meditator for a long time at that point. And P.S., if I had like a dollar for everyone who's ever said to me, what, you get panic attacks? But you're a Buddhist and a meditator. I'm like, yeah, well, so what? I'm also a human being. But because I had a meditation practice, I was able to work with my mind, in a sense, and sort of manage it a little bit with the help of the medication, of course. But I was still crying. And the flight attendant came up to me and said, are you okay? And I'm like, yes. I said, I'm afraid to fly. She says, well, would you like to speak to the captain? I'm like, yeah, okay. Later, I realized she probably wanted him or her to assess me. Like, is this person crazy? But the captain comes out and he's straight from central casting. He's square jawed and his clothes are, you know, neatly pressed, and he comes up to me and he says, hello, Susan. He calls me by my name. He said, I hear you're a little afraid to fly. And I'm like, yeah. He said, "Well, my name is Captain Denny. I have been a pilot for 25 years. I've flown this route many times. We have a beautiful day for flying, and I promise I will get you there safely." I still am so very touched by that. So, okay, I'm like, yeah, let's do this thing. The plane takes off, and about an hour into the flight, it was like a 2.5 hour flight, the flight attendant comes up to me and hands me a business card. It says, "This is from the captain." It's his card. I turn it over. On the back, it says, "Dear Susan, I hope your flight is going well. Thank you for your trust in me, Captain Denny." I still have that card, by the way. I carry it with me in my wallet all the time. And why am I telling you this story? Besides, Captain Denny is awesome. It's because this is the secret practice for working with anxiety, mild to severe. And it is called kindness. Kindness equalizes our mental state in a way that nothing else can. So I've experienced this many times, and every time I get on an airplane or get in an elevator or any situation where I feel claustrophobia arising, if it seems right, I turn to a person near me and I say, "Excuse me, I'm a little claustrophobic. Would you mind talking to me for a few minutes or until you get to your floor? And then I promise, you know, I'll be fine." Because I don't want them to think I'm crazy and I'm going to, like, you know, be all needy and clingy. And I've done this countless times. And every time, you know, I might do it tomorrow and have a different experience, but so far, every time, the person without fail has said, "Oh, sure." And then they say something like, "Well, where are you going? Or are you having a nice day? Or what do you think of this weather? Or I like your shirt," or, you know, what, something. They start to engage me in small talk, which is awesome. The small talk is what it is, but their willingness to extend themselves to me changes everything. It changes everything. So the secret practice, the secret mantra, the secret trick, or as it were, to quell anxiety is always kindness. If you can find someone who will extend it to you, that is great. And I find that people are very willing to. But if you can't, you can extend it yourself to someone else. It is not possible, I've tested this, to be anxious and kind at the same time. So if you don't feel like asking someone for help, you can say, "Hey, nice shirt." Or you can call someone who needs you or is going through something and say, "How's it going?" Any way that you can inject kindness into your situation, it is bound to lessen anxiety. Anxiety and kindness are incompatible, as I say. So this is our secret practice. This is our mantra. This is our technique. And again, it is called kindness. Don't take my word for it. Try it yourself. Try asking for it. Try extending it and see how it affects your state of mind. So I hope this is useful. Again, Marsha and Faith, thank you so much for your questions. I wish you well with your anxiety and with your lives and with your practice. And here we go. Let's practice together. Very sunny. So I'd like to ask you, if it doesn't feel weird, to begin your practice by just placing your hand on your heart and feel your own tenderness, your own vulnerability, your own sweetness. You can replace your hand on your leg if you like. And from this place of primordial gentleness that we all possess, all, let's practice together. So the legs are crossed loosely in front of you if you're on the floor, or your feet are flat on the floor if you're in a chair. And give your weight to your cushion or chair. Don't hold back. Just really land right here, right now. No place to go, nothing to do, just this. The hands rest on the legs, palms down. The biceps are parallel with the torso. Sit up straight and feel, as it were, your spine sort of fountaining up from the ground or from your sit bones. So there's a sense of sort of elegance and regalness in your back body. And let your front body soften. Your belly can relax, the area around your heart, your throat. These are three of the gates with which we communicate with our world, and they're always open, and that's okay. Let your shoulders relax. The mouth is closed, but the lips and teeth are slightly parted. And the breath is natural in and out through the nose. The eyes are open, and the gaze is cast down to a spot a few feet in front of you, up to 6 feet, given the distance of your screen. But if you're feeling anxious, it's helpful to lower the gaze. It sort of has a sense of ensmallening the space. I know that's not a word. So in those times where you feel anxious or speedy, you can lower your gaze, sort of brings things to a more manageable place. Otherwise, let the gaze be cast down a few feet in front of you, up to 6 feet, as I say. And the eyes are open because we're not afraid to be right here. And we're not trying to get anywhere else. So let the gaze be soft. And let the eyes be soft. And the crown of the head reaches up a little bit. Feel yourself breathing. Feel your body expand on the inhale and relax on the exhale. Come all the way in with the in-breath and let the attention be carried out on the out-breath. The next in-breath will just happen. It is guaranteed. You know, 99.999%. And begin again to come in and flow out. This is called resting the mind on the breath. And the mind loves to rest on the breath. Your mind will continue to think thoughts. Awesome. Imagine that your thoughts are like noises from the room next door. Every once in a while they rise and then they quiet and then they're gone and then there's something that comes back again. Just let your thoughts be kind of ambient like that. Well, your primary attention is on your breath. And if you notice that you become absorbed in thought, that is absolutely no problem. I really mean that. When you see that, when you notice that, pause and look at that and say to yourself silently, thinking. That's thinking. That's different than meditating. And then gently let go and escort your attention back to the breath like you are helping a child get back into bed. If you have a child that jumps out of bed, you don't go, "Hey, you, get back in bed." You go, "Okay, honey, come on, let's go back. I'll walk you back." So let there be that sense of you walking yourself back to your breath with gentleness and care. And you begin again to flow with the breath. Thank you very much for your practice. Thank you for practicing with me. And thank you for practicing together. And thank you, Marsha and Faith, for your questions. And if you have a question about your practice, leave it in comments or look for the Ask Susan link for my podcast. And there's a phone number, and you can leave me a voice message with your question, and I'll include it in my podcast, which I would love to do. And if you want to continue this conversation, these kinds of conversations, I warmly invite you to join the Open Heart Project Sangha. Every month we have a theme, and this month that theme is around working with the heart, similar to our conversation today. And I give more Dharma talks, and there's more chance to connect and converse, and it's just a way to deepen and stabilize your own practice. It costs $27 a month, and you could give it a try. It was built to support you, and it also supports my work. So thank you again for your practice, and I'll see you next week.